This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the reason why. This is the reason why, James. Is it doesn't matter to you whether you...
I can't do this anymore. I can't do... I don't want to be here anymore.
Can I ask you a question?
Normally you kick off the pod with a question. Can I ask you something? Have you got something? We could have a double question. That's fine. Can I ask you a question first?
I've got something, but I think people might know. They might be haste.
Okay.
They might guess. You go first, Jim. What have
Arsenal,
you got for me?
Arsenal chat incoming, I feel. My question to you is simple.
Yeah.
Are we massive? You want to answer that?
What, QPR, I suppose?
Are we massive?
Oh, you're talking about me and you?
Yeah. Because...
Well, I don't know.
I don't know about you lot. And look, we both like to put forward the idea that we have the common touch. We're the same as you. We're just the same as you. We're just the same. Incorrect. I would put forward the idea. We are massive. Literally massive. We're bigger than you. We're the bigger men here. Because we are so massive that we have been put on big fat billboards. And what is heartbreaking is you get to a moment like this and you think, oh, I wonder what picture they'll use when we get on the bright lights of Manchester and Liverpool. And this is a billboard for Find the Fake Fan, which is a new series that your boys Jimbo and Flav have hosted. And
go over to Ladbrokes.
Go to Lad Bible and check that out. It is currently soaring in the algorithm because it's a bloody great format. But what is slightly heartbreaking is those are the faces. Like, there is nothing worse than doing thumbnail faces. And even in the moment when we had to do said thumbnail faces, when we did the show, it was excruciating. 30 people watching you go, yeah. For them just to put it on a bloody billboard.
The thing is no one said anything about billboards when we signed up to the job, did they?
That would have been, exactly. Well, you're going to hang on.
I reckon...
What are my image rights here? Am I happy? Am I comfortable with this?
Did the contract we signed say anything about billboards? I don't think it did.
Yeah.
I don't think it did. I reckon they go... They realise they've got to use this opportunity.
Lad Bible
realised how big an opportunity this is for them. Let's get their faces up in...
The thumbnail guy went, Connor's a producer. So Connor, what are you sort of... Just quietly, very quite meek guy.
Yeah,
just calm, gets his work done. He's changing.
Bit of a wallflower.
Yeah, but wallflower, he's going, Connor, what... So I'm just sort of getting to the thumbnail now. What are you thinking? And Connor grabs him by the face. And goes, just make sure you get Alcott's face. I couldn't even get to the end of that.
What did he say?
Just make sure you get Alcott's fucking face on that, all right? Make sure it's big. And make sure he looks shocked. Or at the very least, miffed. Because with that comes the rain of views.
Just get all caught that way. And the thing is, like, I'm not even sore that my face isn't on the thumbnail.
Just get all caught weird little mug on there. All right.
Do you think everyone's gonna weird little mug? James, do you reckon? Because I wasn't on the thumbnail, do you reckon everyone is realizing I'm just hanging on to your coattails into the pool of cash. I'm like, you ain't leaving me behind. I'm fucking coming.
Let's wait. I think full confirmation on me possibly being the A side comes in the second episode, which will be out soon. And if you are on the thumbnail on that one, if it's your face on that one, it's equal. It's equal.
Can I just point you to a comment I read on your one of our previous podcasts? I can't remember exactly where it was. Is Jesus Christ, James Alcott is carrying this flav mug.
Honestly, one of my favourite things. It blows my mind. It's people going, why do you keep inviting this guy on? I'm like, we're 5 years deep, guys. Don't watch it if you don't want to watch it. But he's here now. Imagine me going, I go at the end of the pod, go, and anyway, everyone, just have a great weekend. End stream. Flav, before you go, could we just have a quick chat? I'm thinking of switching it up. I've got Robbie Lyle fancies it, so switch it round. Flav, is this 50-50, people? When are people going to understand? What I do like is what I saw was someone said that we're blowing up like NSYNC. Not my words, the words of PJ Quinn, who's in our chat right this second. And if you do want to join us live for the podcast every single week, and also for our mailbag, and for a bit of breaking news that Flav delivered at the start of this podcast that won't make it into the pod, sadly.
It's about chicken Arabia. That's what I'm saying.
Spoiled it now.
No, it's tease.
But anyway, and we dive into the depths of Find the Fake Fan. And these people, do you know what I always feel sorry for? Along this line here is the lineup from the first episode. The guy, I think they put him in the middle probably just as, you know, because they felt sorry a little bit. But the guy third from the right made his way down from Manchester, all the way down. I think it's a slight spoiler alert, but it's not enough.
No, don't.
First out. First out after about 20 seconds. Poor bloke.
Yeah. I've got a question for you, Jim.
Go on then.
God, do you know what they thought? Eric Dyer in that back line. Oh, I'm sure we can get at him. He's rubbish. Didn't play a game and a half for Spurs. Played 13 games at Bayern Munich. Maybe we were wrong about Eric Dyer. However, look at the statistics. I know Saliba's supposed to be a good centre-back, isn't he? I've heard some good stuff about him, yeah? That his ceiling's quite high, yeah?
Well, you've been glazing him for weeks.
Well, I'm just saying, I've heard some things about Saliba that he's apparently very, very good.
Yeah.
Statistically, Dyer was better than him last night, so is he good?
A couple of nights ago.
This is the question. Is Saliba... I know he's good, but is he good?
When they were both at fault for a goal, weren't they?
Well, yeah, and literally Gabriel picked a ball that was in play up with both his hands. James, can I just ask you something? Like, let's move on to another question. Saliba conundrum, right? Yeah.
What was the first question? What was the first one, though? What was that? That was a soliloquy. That wasn't a...
How good is he?
Oh, right.
How good is he? Got torn, so Sane just turned his liver inside out, didn't it? Anyway, I want to move on.
Yeah, I get stuck on that.
Yeah, right. All right, your beautiful little boy, right?
Two on Saturday, guys.
Happy birthday. You're in your front room. He's got a soft ball that you, and I know you've done this, you're teaching him to kick.
Sure.
What does he do as an 18-month-year-old baby? Instead of kicking, what did he continually do?
Kept picking it up.
Awesome. He kept picking it up. Right?
And I'd say to him, I'd go, handball! In fact, you'd be like, just get it fall over.
But what you did is a no-co-a, kick it.
Kick it.
So what Gabriel did there...
Got great right foot, by the way, guys. Lovely. Bosch.
Yeah, love the technique.
Cowboy car.
He broke the first rule you're taught as a child when you start playing football.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Jim. Is it, was the referee right to just say he didn't read it?
Fucking do that. Can you fucking do that?
Yeah.
Jim, right. Jim, take
let
three.
Me ask you a question.
Go on.
This is the question I want you to ask.
Yeah.
Was the referee right just to just go, he didn't mean it. Let's not spoil the game. Let's just let it play. There's just the question.
Okay. And can I just say, because I said this to, so we had Boovy on the Ripple Effect this week. It was great and he was really good. And the podcast that's coming out tomorrow for that is him ranking every Man City fan. And on one player, he talks about this player just like only Boovy can do. It's amazing. Honestly, he absolutely tears this footballer from limb to limb. And then he goes, with all due respect. And I said to him, you can't do that. We can't say with all due respect after you've called him a Nazi, whatever. Do you know what I mean? You can't go heavy, then go with all due respect. You've got to go with all due respect and do that. What I would say to you is when you're doing these questions, ask the question and then we'll do the chat afterwards. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
So my question is, yes. You've got the question.
I've got the question.
Was the referee right not to ruin the tie?
Okay. So within the theme of today, I am going to answer the question. But just so people know, had a busy day today. So fortunately, you guys have come a clutch here. And I've asked you questions. One of the questions, if I can find it, spoke about exactly the question you were talking about. Yeah. And it was Matthew Coral, who I think is a Liverpool fan, actually. He said, we need to talk about football fans being babies. The outrage over a completely unforced minor error that wouldn't be noticed or covered in 90% of games, Gabriel's handball, has been embarrassing.
Okay.
Right. My take on it is, I didn't see it at the time. I don't think anyone really, did anyone really see it at the time?
No one saw it. No one saw it.
But apparently, came. But the whistle went, didn't it? The whistle went. Then it happened and he picked it up because he was going to take it, right?
Does he usually take place kicks?
Does David Rea normally take the kicks or Gabriel?
Gabriel.
Well, the thing is, football's different now, isn't it? Especially when it comes to goal kicks, because you do see that all the time because you're looking to make a three, aren't you? And if David Rea is good enough on the ball, you'll let that player take it and pass it to him so that then he has two options after that. I think, in terms of the...
He's looking to gain an advantage, you're saying?
He's looking to gain advantage. I guess, in terms of taking it from there. In terms of taking it from there.
Handball looking to take an advantage? I don't know.
John, in the spirit of the game... Because do you remember this? This reminds me of a little bit. You know, the Ashes with the Aussie... Yeah. Cheating scumbag. I can't remember his name. Cheating scumbag. And Bairstow was sort of in and then lifted his bat and he did that. So
wasn't in the spirit of the game.
Rule wise, yes, it's a penalty. It is. If that's the world we want to live in and that's, you know, that's it.
Deliberate handball, probably red card. Deliberate handball.
He's got to go, hasn't he?
But definitely a penalty. Definitely a penalty.
But spirit of the game, it's not a penalty, but by the rules of the game. It probably was. And I think if you get if you have a more egotistical referee, and this is just something that we have to accept, is that different referees are different. If you have a more egotistical referee in that moment, I think he goes, well, my whistle should be respected. And you can't use your hands. Because that is, in terms of the rules, going back to your initial point, rule one, don't pick it up if you're not a goalie. So hopefully the guys are watching down at Arsenal. Imagine that. Imagine if there's one rule that Arteta knows everything about football, but there's just like one rule that's just never crossed his path in, you know, 40 years of football.
Don't pick it up.
What's the problem? What was the problem? Well, he picked it up.
So?
Hmm?
So? He's in the box, he can pick it up.
And you can't do that. Oh, I just thought they didn't want to. I thought they just didn't want to pick it up.
there's no tactical advantage to picking it up. That's why they don't pick it up. They can.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. How are we supposed to score a goal on that? You can kick
it. Can I shock you, James?
Go on.
I 100% agree with you.
Wow.
It would have been ridiculous for the referee to give that penalty, I think.
You loved it though, didn't you?
Yeah, of course, 100%. Like, I wanted it to happen, 100%. I'm desperate for it to happen, but it's he didn't mean to do it. There's no he gains, despite what I've just said, he gains no advantage by picking it up. It was just an honest mistake. He's not doing anything. There is no advantage to what he did. So, and then they got a yellow card, red card. As much as I'd like that to happen, it would have been well funny, and I could have lined up some belting tweets about it for the good of the game and the tie and its integrity. You'd be fuming if you was Arsenal, but it'd be desperately unfair.
What's incredible great thing about sport is that, say that had been given, something as trivial as that and the money that could cost you, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah, huge, massive. Like, you're talking, this is why it's a real shame it didn't happen. It could have upset Arsenal's momentum completely. Like, that could have been the key.
When did
point,
that happen? Do you know when that happened in the game? It was first half, wasn't it? We just don't know.
I was
when.
Completely oblivious to it until I saw it on Twitter. Didn't even know it happened.
Well, it's from the angle, you can see it's at that end. So that was the... Oh, hang on. Was that the second half of the game? No, it's the second half of the game. Right. Yeah, what do you think about away goals in the Champions League?
It's a shame. They should still be a thing.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's... Someone put a great tweet out there where it was like, that was 2-2 and 3-3. It means nothing. Might as well be 0-0.
Yeah. That's
silly to me.
Yeah, I don't know why they have to insist on changing things constantly when things are happening. No one ever complained about away goals, ever, I don't think.
Yeah.
It was accepted. And then Arsenal would have to really come out and play against Bayern Munich. But what they could actually do is stink the place out. Get one goal, just as they're really good at doing.
Yeah. Or it's just the sway that it can make, like, because if it's 2-1, then it goes to 2-2. Then it's
was it deemed too much of an advantage? Do you think if you did draw the game,
is that it must deemed, have been? I think that's a good point to make. Is that there must have been something wrong with it for them to get rid of it? Do you know what I mean? Can anyone remember?
No, I don't remember
what was wrong with it.
Like, you could, there's about 14 million hours of YouTubes on video on what's wrong with VAR, and they won't change that. There was nothing of significance at the time saying that there's anything wrong with it, I don't think.
That's true. Ollie Sage, who is usually an absolute nightmare. In his contributions,
he's
stepped up there really well.
He's an arsehole, typically, like an absolute piece of. Yeah. He's scum. He's scum. He's actual scum.
Hate Ollie more because he's tall. Is that the same for you?
Not really. I think I'm taller than him. So.
Right. Yeah. Power move there. Fair enough. Is there something wildly petty about someone that just drives you mad? Do you know what I noticed? That something I can't, honestly, it makes my blood boil. And I mean that when I say it. As a father these days, guys, what happens, hang on, I'll do it with a Coke can. What happens is a lot of times is you buy bubble stuff and you do bubbles, right? And to get a good bubble thing, you want to get the washing up liquid on it, right? Mm. I cannot effing handle it. If you're going in, get it, let it out, and then make your bubbles, right? I'm one of the best in the world at making bubbles, by the way. What I cannot handle is when someone goes...
Yeah, it's your son doing that, isn't it? That's your son.
No, it's not. It's my sister.
All right. What's that got to do with Ollie?
I think there's enough on there now.
What's he got to do with Ollie?
Just good, because I don't like him because he's tall. I like him even less because he's tall. Yeah. Anyway, the point he made was there's more chance of extra time.
Really?
Yeah, because the away goal, someone goes through on away. Because if it's a draw, so they've drawn 2-2. If they draw 1-1 and there's away goals, Bayern Munich go through no extra time. You've got to be sort of perfect to get extra time, haven't you?
We don't. So we want extra time.
Yeah, I think so. Well, no, it's exciting.
That's not it. That's not it.
No,
No, not only I like Ollie less from just throwing that stupid suggestion out.
That's a good question, though.
This is the reason.
So you don't want more? You prefer you'd like less extra time?
No, I'd like more extra time because obviously the there's more risk of mayhem, isn't there? Because everyone's tired. So I'd take more extra time, but that isn't the reason why it changed. So some coaches believe that there are issues with the away goals rule, and UEFA has decided to take a course of action. Football is not a monolithic sport. The game is on the... Hang on.
Get to the point. Chuck it in chat GPT and get them to summarise it.
No, here, I gotcha. Another more unsportsmanlike reason is the fact that in the event of an extra time at the end of the second leg, the benefit of the away goals rule is not equal to both teams. For instance, the team playing away in the first leg only has 90 minutes to score an away goal that is perceived to be more valuable, but in the second leg, you have 120 minutes if extra time takes place.
Ah.
It's an unfair advantage to the team playing in the second leg. If you're playing away. The away team in the second leg.
But
I've read the rule. You don't have to. That is true. Whether you agree with it or not, that's the reason why I've just said.
That's fine. What I'm saying is, back in the day, what you're saying there is that away goals... sorry, what the people at UEFA are ever saying, is that... Yeah. Away goals only count after extra time. But I used to think that in certain competitions, away goals counted at full time.
I'm just reading you what I read.
Right. And I'm just...
I don't know.
Cool.
I don't know.
Okay. Slick Venom.
It's a shame. It's better without it. It was better without it, wasn't it? Better with it, rather. Better with it. Much better.
Yeah.
Because Arsenal, like I was saying, is going to go to Munich and stink the place out now. No one wants to see that. No, not even Arsenal fans want to see that.
What I'm wary of doing is just hating whatever is happening now just because it's happening now. Do you know what I mean? Because I think sometimes you forget what was going on at the time. Like VAR case in point, which everyone was like, something's got to change. They need help. They obviously need help. Give them help. And then we're giving them help and it's too much help, isn't it? It's too many.
James, can I ask you another question?
Got
just because I think you're like this. On the Fighting Cop podcast, we asked the question whether or not football is worse now than it has ever been.
It's quite a prominent question at the moment, isn't it?
For entertainment perspective. And the best way to explain that as a truth is to say that David Ginola wouldn't make it in the modern era. There's not space for a player like David Ginola in Guardiola's team where you're required to press, where you're not required to track back, take up positions. Dimitar Berbatov possibly would struggle in the modern era, maybe.
Yeah.
But there is very little room for maverick and mercurial players, which light up a game these days. Every team wants to try and pass it into the net. Let's create opportunities to increase the quality of the chance rather than speculating on glory. And the game's become scientific and it's become about numbers. And while that is the best way to proceed and you have to play like that if you want to compete, it's a shame that footballers are a little bit, they should be a bit more overweight.
I would like to, 80, yeah, I think 80 minutes. I think that would be good for everyone. It's
some
turning
faster into, footballers.
It's football's turning into Instagram, isn't it? Where it's like, can we just see
Lee
one
Trundle
or two
wouldn't,
bloody lads?
Lee Trundle wouldn't be able to do it in the Championship now.
Yeah,
not a chance.
Can I just another probably weird tangent? When you talk about teams trying to walk it in, is it just my group of friends who would joke about that's the problem with Arsenal? They always try and walk it in. Is that a thing that everyone did? Everyone do that phrase?
That's narrative at Spurs, yeah. That's said now. My dad says that. We try and walk it in all the time.
That's the problem. That's the thing. That was it. We used to go with Arsenal because of Wenger. That's the thing with Arsenal, isn't it? They try and walk it in. No one else did that. Fine. Okay, that's good to know. In terms of Mavericks, I know. You going to go
Have
on, Ollie?
You seen it?
You going after him?
You seen what he's saying? Ollie's fucking piping up. Nostalgia merchants. You don't know what you're talking about because you wasn't fucking alive, Ollie. Yeah. We're talking about an era that you don't understand, right? When football was played by fucking...
Nearly
cancelled myself then, didn't I? They weren't all bloody metrosexuals, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Just someone said that to me. Someone said to me, "Do you know what's great about you?" I think it might have been Fam. She said, "That's what's good about you, because you're sort of, you know, you're not manly, are you?" That's it. She's saying, like, why you? We're talking about the channel or something. She's saying, why does it do well? Why do you do well? Because you're sort of, you know, a bit. Not camp. She was like, not camp. I was like, what are you
that's
saying?
Not, you shouldn't say that to a man ever.
I'm wrong with being camp. I'm wrong with a bit of campness. When I hear the word camp, I think fun. So if that makes me camp, call me camp.
So be it.
Yeah. So like, Ollie Sage piping up again. Honestly, nostalgia.
Don't talk about something
really...
you don't know about, boy.
Yeah, yeah. You don't know. You literally don't know you're born. You don't know you weren't born.
You have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
Can I shock you? I'm kind of Ollie on this.
You're a fucking idiot as well, then.
Well, I think there's more layers to this, right? So, the comment from Ollie Sage that has got the Patreon chat popping off right now.
It is popping off, isn't it?
It really is. Honestly, nostalgia merchants really annoy me. And do you know what I would say, Ollie? The bravery to pop that in there is, I commend it. Mm. Ollie Rogers, another Ollie, said, "Well said, Ollie," from one to another.
But these are all kids. They're all in their early 20s. They don't know. They didn't live through what we live through.
I think what I would put if I could bookmark this moment for you guys, it'd be great for you to bookmark it. And it would be interesting to see how you feel in 10 years' time. What I would say, right, to this debate, my dad said something really interesting yesterday. And believe it or not, and kidding, Dad, I love you. He said, when you think about the sort of the teams back in the day, you were thinking about, you weren't thinking about the formations or anything like that. You were thinking about the three players that you had to worry about. Dennis Law, George Best, Bobby Charlton, or like, you know, as it progressed, still like that for a long time. It's like you're worried about three or four players, right? And you're worried about their, you know, the individuals of that, of course. And it was, whereas now, it's about the team. It's not about the person.
It's a system, isn't it?
And I said, so my view on that, the reason why, literally, like, I thought about this the other day, is like, the way I'm watching a football game now is I'm almost like, my focus is changing from an individual to the collective. And I think the reason for that is, from a broader point of view, from a fan, I think you've got things like, obviously, so much football to watch, and you're seeing it in this fashion all the time. Video games, FIFA. And the third thing, and probably the most important one, is that these players every single day are seeing different pictures to the pictures that players were seeing in the 70s and 80s and 90s. Now, if you know all the time that if you zoom out of your own head when you're in the middle of a pitch and you're going, I know he should be there, that analysis is like at such a level that you as a person, and also things like, you know, the training and the different zones, and you'll know, okay, this is my zone on the pitch, all of those things, has turned it into essentially a bit of a boxing match. And that's the thing as well. It's like, in terms of that boxing match, it's not Rocky. It's Floyd Mayweather against Floyd Mayweather these days.
Exactly. And what's more fun?
What's more fun? Like, the individuals and mistakes and chaos is obviously more fun. Obviously.
It's more fun.
What I would say is this. I think
it's funny if you like wanking off over statistics all day, if that's your idea of fun.
Come on.
But I'm not going down for I'm not going down the pub to have a pint with statistics, Stan. I'm not doing that.
Did you see the comment, the bar from, I think his name's Dan Savage? He said this line, and this is fucking brilliant. And I'm sure he's probably good. I presume he's, well, now look, let me give it to him. He said, stats are like bikinis. He said, what they reveal is really interesting. But what they cover up is equally interesting.
God.
That is so good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think
you need the bikini.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're sort of so, and I think that's a great way of looking at football because I think you can get like stats. I would not say are for mugs, but I think they can paint a good picture and they can provide context. But they need, you know,
a
bikini on the floor is just is not much to look at. You need
no,
you need,
a need crumple a bit of cough. Well, yeah, well. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I think I remember, and it is nostalgia, and it is rose tinted glasses, and it isn't probably representative of the reality. But I remember when, and Gareth Bale was the last one to do it. But I remember when Ginola got the ball, Aaron Lennon would get the ball, you'd get off your seat because that he was going to run at him. He was going to find a way of creating a chaotic move. Which would force defenders to make mistakes. Whereas, okay, there are some outliers. I think like Doku does it to some degree, but it's not as good. It's not.
Do you know what it is?
Fun football isn't as fun. It's become much more analytical and scientific and systematic, and it's just a shame.
The key word is control. Like
people will never know what it's like to feel alive when watching football.
The key word.
I bet he likes VAR as well.
Yeah, Ollie, do you like VAR? The key thing is control these days. Everyone wants control. And when you're, the only time that you kind of, there's that relinquishing of control a lot of the time is like these Champions League games. These Champions League games, they were fucking brilliant. Like, you know, and think about like the goals.
They were amazing.
And the goals had mistakes and they had brilliance. They had both. Valverde's goal, Foden's goal, Gvardiol, the left footed centre back who's playing left back crashing on him with his right foot, like it's
unreal.
All there. McAllister scored a screamer, Van der Ven scored a screamer recently as well, so yeah. I feel like I've had this conversation with someone recently, but I think it's about like, you know, when you're talking about football and what you want, it might have been with you last week, it's like, what do you want? And I think you want positivity, like, and you want and you want things that get you off your seat, and those things aren't 5-yard passes. So
no, it's not. It's like the amount of goals Spurs. And I'm not complaining, right? Because I understand Spurs are. We're trying to move in the same and swim in the same pool as Pep Guardiola, right? The tactics aren't too dissimilar. They essentially, I would say that Guardiola and Postecoglou and Arteta and all of the others, you get to that level, you have a similar sort of philosophy about how the modern game should be played, right? And a lot of it is about creating opportunities that are so strong and so good that you can't miss the chance. And while that makes, do you understand? Like, if you get the ball in across the 6-yard box and find your attacker. So many goals that Spurs scored this season, exactly like that, tap-ins. But
it's optimized football, isn't it? It's like, Alex was saying last week on that tweet I saw.
100% optimized. Anyway, I feel like we're creeping on the same conversation we had last week.
One thing I would say is like, I'd love to know, who do people think are mavericks in football today? Because when you said that,
Grealish was at Villa, and it's just been trained out of him. I think he's a better footballer than he was at Villa.
Yeah,
is he more fun? No, and so
he gets the opportunity to do less fun things because he's got better players to play with. It's one of those ones where it's like, you know, when at Villa, it was like giving the ball and you do something. Whereas at Man City, it's, you know, it's so much bigger than that.
Traore can't get in any side.
Who?
He can't even get to Fulham side, Adama Traore. He's the most fun footballer I've ever seen and there's no room for him.
Jimmy Dunn, good shout. Madison was the name I was thinking. I think Madison is one. I think Eze is one. I think Elise to a point. I think Foden's interesting. Is he's of those top teams, he's probably as fun as it gets. De Bruyne has great moments. Like, he scored a rocket at the weekend, didn't he, as well? Palmer. Is Palmer maverick?
Yeah, I would obviously, if you're having to group them up in today's game, then you would class them as, but they're like, it's a light version of what we used to have. Anyway,
I think Madison, do you know what, for a Maverick, I think this is interesting. For a Maverick, what I want to see is stuff that you don't normally see. Like, you want to see him trying things. And Madison will try those little passes that you've not really seen as much. I wonder, does Foden do that? I think Foden is just so good.
Incredible. Yeah.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
But again, those Champions League games, that's the thing. It's like, when it comes to about control and optimizing, give yourself the best chance, when it gets to a level where both teams are kind of good enough, they have a go at each other and it's great to watch. Problem Brilliant. Is, a lot of football, it's not like, you know, it's not like that. And so to optimize your chances, you've got to be defensive, and then the other team have the ball and they've just got to break you down, which is not as fun, you know?
Despite everything we're saying, these Champions League week was... I didn't watch the Athletic and Dortmund game, but I watched the other three.
Yeah,
well, I watched the extended highlights of the City game. Arsenal game was fantastic, and that game last night, the Barcelona and PSG game, which I rarely do. I would rarely sit down and watch those. I just had a feeling that it was going to be good. And obviously, that you got the Mbappe and Lewandowski. And there's a couple of things I took away from that incredible game last night. Barcelona are a shadow of the club they were 7 or 8 years ago. Just like a different team. What they were.
But at what cost?
Anyway, what my point was... I haven't watched... Let me ask another question. Mbappe and Lewandowski are not on Kane's level.
You tweeted Kane, about this, didn't you?
By some distance, and it has been this the case for years, is the best number nine in European football.
He was good, wasn't it? In what he does and how he does it, he's class. He is very, very good. Yeah, you tweeted, you realise when you're watching Mbappe and Lewandowski live that Kane has been the best striker in the world for years, years and years. years and years. I love the start of a like, you know, this has just popped into my head and there's no gender in it at all. And then,
bosh, agenda.
Years, and that's, and if you just look at the tweet, you think that's the full stop. No, that's the full stop. Years and years.
Yeah.
He is mad.
Look, guys, the problem is when you think of Lewandowski and you think of Mbappe and Messi and Ronaldo, and those players exist, but they are full of a lot of fans. They exist in some sort of magical place in their brain because most of them are not watching Mbappe week in, week out in Ligue 1. They're not. They know Mbappe to be the best striker in the world football because that's what everyone says
he is. Told. Yeah.
So this just this mystical Mbappe that isn't reality. I'm not taking anything away of how good a footballer Mbappe is.
Yeah.
But because we in England don't watch him every week, we just assume he's having 10 out of 10 games week in, week out, week in, week out. When reality is, that performance last night was average.
Yeah, yeah. He was poor.
And you know, he might have 15 games a season like that that you'd never see.
Do you think, like,
because you see
again,
Kane every week?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not questioning his talent. Like, he's incredible. I do think, you know, life's funny, isn't it? And I wonder, say Mbappe, and again, this is so hypothetical, but say the talent levels of Mbappe are in his career are exactly the same. But say he's from, say he's
Togolese,
Egyptian, yeah, and he hasn't got that World Cup. He hasn't got two World Cup finals. He's great in his tournaments and he scores goals in his tournaments.
The best team.
Yeah. But he's Welsh.
Yeah.
Again, Welsh fans are going to get annoyed at that. That's your brilliant.
I understand your point. It's fine.
My point is, you know, you have that world stage and then you dominate on that world stage. That is such a, like, to your point about we don't watch Ligue 1 every single week, so you don't know that level, and what you do know broadly is that that level is great, but it's not, you know, it's and people get annoyed about this as well, but the most money is in the Premier League, the best players are in the Premier League, and so the standard is going to be the highest in this league.
Ligue 1 is the fourth level. In terms of the big five leagues in Europe, French is fourth. It's not an argument.
Yeah. So from that point of view, the test is difficult. So there is then a lot of pressure on him in the Champions League. And what I would say is that he does very well in the Champions League. Like,
I'm sure he does. But he doesn't have Kane. He doesn't have Kane's body of work. He hasn't had the same challenges that Kane's had, and he's currently not a better footballer than Harry Kane.
They're so different.
Like, yeah,
they're so different. But to the point we're talking about the national side thing, that's the thing that's going to be the opposite for Kane, is that he's not been, you know, if he was at Man City, if he was at Barcelona for the last 5 years, he'd have a load of, you know, he would be given that, the grandeur's there, isn't it? I think that is a thing. And that's why Charlie Austin was one of the best strikers in the league, but people don't want to give him credit.
Mbappe's been festering in France for so long.
Festering. But not for long. Not for long. It'd be gone soon, man. It'd be gone soon.
Gone to Real Madrid. So that doesn't count either. Anything he achieves there doesn't count. So might as well give up.
Ronnie makes a great point.
What's he say?
He says the difference is, when you talk about Kane, difference is he bottles it every time on the biggest stage and they don't. You replied, didn't you? He came back swinging. You're talking about Saka. Do you know what we didn't talk about? Saka's penalty. Thoughts?
I've seen him given. I would have said that he played for the penalty. He could have gone round him. He should have gone round him, but chose to do that. So it's a good thing that he didn't get the penalty. Encourages the wrong kind of play.
My initial thought after the first replay, because that would be fun, wouldn't it? Like, if you say you've got, and this, I mean, it would be a car crash, but because watching it back, right, from one angle, I think it's not a penalty. From the other angle, I think it is a penalty.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. But it would be good to go, okay, look, you're allowed a replay, but you're allowed one replay, and then you just got to decide. Because I quite enjoy. It's almost novel now when you've got VAR and you watch it again and again and again. But my initial feeling was, nah. And it was my get up rule that I like to employ. I was like, get up. You sort of kicked out. You kicked out of them. But then Harvey Elliott did a similar thing. But Neuer didn't go sliding to ground. If Neuer goes sliding to ground, Saka will fall over and it's a penalty.
Yeah, the Harvey Elliott one I thought was a penalty, even though he looked to play it. It was a different kind of... It wasn't exactly the same as what happened to Saka, like you say.
Because Wan-Bissaka dived in. That's what I mean. I think if Neuer stays on his feet... That would be really interesting. If there was a general feeling
Wan-Bissaka
that...
Did we say Wan-Bissaka then? Yeah. Bukayo Saka?
No, sorry. With Harvey Elliott, Wan-Bissaka goes... He slides in. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I think that... Well, you don't mention Havertz's blatant dive as well. Then just went unpunished. Should have been booked for diving. I look, if you're an Arsenal fan, you want it. If you're everybody else, you don't want it.
Okay.
I'm watching it back now. The second replay, he kicks his leg out.
Yeah, he does kick a leg. Which people
you can't
do.
See it from the first one.
Which people do. But Neuer does. He puts his leg out.
Never a penalty. I've changed my mind completely. He lifted his right leg up as he goes past him. He should have been booked for cheating.
Yeah. I think Stephen Webster says it was sloppy from Neuer. Saka was looking for it, though. I agree with the second half. The first half, I think it's a really tricky one for the goalkeeper because, like, do you come out? Do you not come out? If you don't come out, he literally can walk around you and put it in. What would be an interesting tweak to the rules is a little bit is like if you go to ground and they kick you and it's like that, like the Harvey Elliott one, you go, well, come on. But if you stay on your feet and it's like it's unnecessary for you to go down, then you don't give it. And it what would be interesting about that is if the people sat, if the attacker then knows that, there's then this weird bit of chicken of is he gonna go for the ball, is he gonna leave it, what's he gonna do? Which I think overall would lead to people not diving. They just go round and put the ball in the back of the net.
Also, it's not wrong to have a conversation about whether or not this was or wasn't a penalty. What's wrong is the meltdown that it was or wasn't a penalty. Do you know what I mean? Don't it's a decision. It's a conversation. It's not worth the meltdown. There wasn't some conspiracy. I don't know if you saw the videos of that geezer. He put $2,000 on Arsenal to win against Bayern Munich, and he videoed himself doing it, saying he's going to smash. Should we play it? So do you want me to send it to you on WhatsApp?
I'll get done for copyright, won't I?
No. Someone's video. Let me send it to you now, but you can play it. It's sensational. This. You'll love it.
Okay.
Trust me.
Send it to me. We've got some other good questions from people. One's interesting. FPL Velvet. Mainu is great and all, but the amount of hype he has is genuinely so triggering. Pape Sarr has been performing to an 8 out of 10 level all season and barely gets mentioned. Not even a nomination for PFA Young Player of the Year, despite being so consistent all season. I don't think...
Was he not nominated?
No, I don't. I haven't seen the nomination, to be honest.
Anyway, that's fine. I'm happy with him going under the radar. Mainu, remember he's doing it for Manchester United, which always carries with it all of the power of the pundits. Like if Gary Neville, you know how influential Gary Neville is, if he's waxing lyrical about Mainu, it feeds into an idea about what kind of player he is. But you can't deny how good he has been. Pape Sarr has had a really good season as well.
I do find that really interesting all the time where you can't, it's the spotlight. The spotlight is a thing, like obviously, because it's just more eyeballs, more opportunities. Well, and the bacteria of it, the virality of it is another thing as well, where it's like, you know, if you put a tweet out going, you know, Ross Barkley is like next level, blah, 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 or some, a different youngster or a younger player, whatever. Luton fans are going to get on that, but there's a small amount of Luton fans. Whereas, like, it's not, probably it's mainly one, you pop it out there. Yeah, the amplification is wild. Right, we've got the video here. Am I going for the long version or the short version?
No, it's two. It comes in two parts. You have to watch both. Can you share your screen so I can see it with you?
Yeah, he wants to enjoy it. I understand that. Is Kobbie Mainoo being overhyped as a general question?
No, I don't think he is currently. I think he's playing to the level that deserves the amount of attention. Overhyped to say, is he going to become the next Zidane? You know, that would be overhyping it. But what they're doing is they're talking about his excellent performances in a faltering Manchester United team. And it's even more magnified the fact that their best player is this 18-year-old kid who didn't... I don't know if he played any game time last season, but certainly wasn't starting games like he is now. So, no, I don't have an issue with it. I think it's fair.
I'd love to... Yeah, what do people think in the chat? It's wildly dysfunctional, that midfield. It's blowing my mind a bit, the Man United midfield thing. And someone sent me a tweet, which was great to see the tweet, and it basically was saying that Ten Hag did a similar thing at Ajax. But he was talking about this on a football show where Ruud Gullit was saying, like, you need a bit more cover there. And he's saying, we've calculated those risks. But on the clip, you didn't get his explanation for that, and it just seems I just can't get my head around it. What would be so wild is if he stays in the job and actually he's got this grander plan and it all comes together next year. I would be, honestly, I would absolutely happily hold my hands up. I would be in utter shock.
James, I think it would be a healthy thing for the sport if it did happen. Not that I'd want it to, but you'd think actually giving managers time, that their plans sometimes don't come to fruition immediately, but the patience is given to them, and so you see results because of that patience. Whereas, you know, what it was like 2 or 3 years ago when 13 people were sacked in the first 3 months or whatever it was, something crazy.
What we'll say about Maynou is that Maynou had a bad game against Liverpool. But he scored a screamer, and thus it was washed away. So fair.
Unreal.
It's not, unreal. Again, it's not that big a deal. I think he's probably being a touch overhyped because I do one. But that game, England Belgium, that in a great midfield with Rice, Foden and Bellingham, he looked good. You know, he looked really good. He's so composed. Mm. Right, here we go. Let's have a look. Let's see what on earth. I've not seen this. So. This is an Arsenal fan before the Champions League. Losing Arsenal fans in the second year.
Night in North London. Look at the skies, baby. We are going to bash Bayern out of the ballpark. Go and get one on. Maximum confidence. Maximum confidence.
Is there a video of him afterwards?
Yeah. Stay with it.
Oh, we can't get an out as well. Wow. Not your best. Best hand, right?
Bayern.
Christ.
Doesn't matter.
Murick.
2,000 win.
Right. Did you hear what he said? £2,000.
If you're putting 2,000 on it, you think you'd take a bit more time with the writing of it, wouldn't you?
2,000 win. Let's go, baby. Right, loading it onto the machines. First time I've seen this.
Loading it onto the machines. Always gamble responsibly, guys. Always.
There we go. Two up on the Arsenal. Come on, boys. Come on, you gooners. Smash them up, baby.
Good line. Smash them up, baby. Right, we move on.
Absolutely disgusting. Disgusting. How many decisions went against us? That is disgusting. Fucking absolutely rotten to the core. Rotten.
Very nice. The paradox.
Gotta be careful. Gotta be careful.
Disgusting.
Do you know what I had a thought the other day? I was at the Rangers, and I walked up the stairs and I saw this bloke, and he had a hoodie on, right? Grown man, he had a hoodie on, and then he had a football shirt over the hoodie.
I've seen it before.
Right, I've seen it everywhere.
Crimes at football. We haven't had a bit for a bit. Everyone.
I was going to say to people, I think we need new bits. Can you know? Sometimes you need to use the squad. That squad is you guys. Please, what bits have you got to get us away from football? Because there's been a lot of football chat. Too much.
Fashion crimes at football, and having a shirt over a jumper to me is a fashion crime. Just no one needs. If you're sitting in the home end, we know you're a Spurs fan, right? You don't need to pull your shirt over your jumper.
Yeah. Because I think...
Just in case people don't realise, I am a Spurs fan. We know you're a Spurs fan. Yeah. You're in the home end.
Do you think they're like, oh no, everyone else is wearing their shirts as well. I thought it was just going to be me wearing my shirt. I made a real effort to pop it over the hoodie. And I was just like, there's no... It's so unattractive. it makes you look... like a slob because you've got the weight of the big jumper, you've got to sneak the hood out the back, and then you've got a short sleeve shirt with all the puff coming out the side of it as well. I just find it.
What should we do? Man. Should we make this broader instead of fashion crimes at football? Things we hate at football.
Crimes.
Then it's very
football.
Broad. And...
crimes at football. Football
crimes at football. Like someone, Cameron Fraser says, one of those stupid foam hands. I've never seen a foam hand at football, but. Kids holding up cards that they've made wanting player shirts, they need to go in the bin.
Do you know what you flip-flop on a lot of the football is being given something from your club on every seat. if the opposition get it, you go, come on, guys.
Look at these wankers.
You got your flags, have you? Have you got your flags with you? Have you brought your flag? Have you got your things? But then if you've got it yourself, you're like, yeah.
Because
we're the Rangers, they gave us, yeah.
You're
pathetic. You're pathetic. Come on, guys, we've got a corner. Come on, guys, we can score a goal here. It's off. We got given scarves, and they were nice scarves, so like simple blue and white scarves. And that was, I was like, that was quite good. I think it's the ones, it's the ones where it's the corsetina thing that you fold up.
I don't have those at Spurs.
Fulham. Clappers, that's it. Is Jim fat shaming? No, I'm not fat shaming. What I'm saying is, it looks mental. And as soon as you walk out of the ground, when you've got the hoodie on and the shirt over the top that doesn't fit, you look mad. You look mental. Like, imagine you go to work and you've just gone, why have you got your collared shirt on over your blazer? Well, I just thought it might work. It might just help with the shoulders a bit. Like, it's such a strange thing. It's a strange thing that your shirt needs to be seen. I get it. And I like it a little bit, like the fact that you want to show your colours. Mm. But at what cost? Is what I'm trying to say.
Any more questions?
Ollie Rogers says, I did do the shirt over the hoodie just once. I was 15 and I did it for a home game against Forest. We went on to lose 1-0 to a deflected goal and I never did it again. Do you know what I did? So on Saturday, I put Koa in a QPR shirt. Do you know why? Because I was allowed to choose his clothes, which I don't normally do. And then on Tuesday, we were playing Plymouth. And don't get me started. And we drew.
That's all right.
But we were 1-0 up. So I was watching. It was horrible, mate. Tuesday night, I was watching Man City, Real Madrid, Arsenal, Bayern. And on my little screen here, I had QPR Plymouth on. And yeah, we scored. We missed some sitters before that. And we were there. And then Asmir Begovic, fucking hell. I'm all for respecting senior pros who've done a lot in the game. This guy, he's got to go tonight. He's like, he sort of nearly came for a cross. It was Sunday league shit. Anyway, so that was devastating. What was my point?
But James, yeah, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams beneath you. 7 teams, because you include Birmingham City in that. Can't believe they're second from bottom. That is
Birmingham.
They have fucking dropped the ball massively, haven't they?
Yeah, they're in trouble. We're all in trouble. Problem is, though, Sheffield Wednesday and Plymouth were such winnable games, and now we've got Hull at the weekend, which is tough. Coventry leads. I'm so worried.
You're 4 points ahead of them. How many games left?
Five? Hang on, let me find it.
No, City, you're on 42, so you've got 6, haven't you?
Yeah, so 4 games left. Yeah.
4 points down there, might as well be 50.
Oh, Damien, you fucking prick. Why are you saying that? Why have you said that? Why say that? I'm in bits about it. I'm in real bits about it, mate. You know, people talk about, it's so tough being a Liverpool fan because we nearly win the league, but we don't. Shut the fuck. It's so much worse down the bottom. Do you know the shame, the shame and the battering and the embarrassment and the wasted hope that you have just to be all right? Not even to be good, be all right. Anyway, the games that we've got left are, I'm worried, I've got to be honest. But we believe in Marty. We hope for the best. But on Tuesday, yeah, I had to get him ready again. And I went to grabbed the QPR shirt and I was walking towards him and then I went, no, I'm put it back in because we'd lost the last time I put him in the shirt. And that's what us silly adult football fans do. It never leaves you. 47, yeah. The thing is, Birmingham is one thing. Obviously, it's Sheffield Wednesday. We need to make sure we stay above them. Our goal difference is all right. Our goal difference is the best of the lot, I think. Yeah, quite easily. Well, not easily, but it's the best of the lot. Just everyone's winning. Everyone stop winning and just let us win.
Just relax.
Beat Hull. Mate, one win. One win we're there, aren't we? When we were there. When we were there.
Yeah. You win. You hold. But you barely. Well, you've lost one game in about 15. I know. Something good like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's what you're worried about.
We just don't score many. That's the problem. Last few questions. Saka penalty, done that. Premier League post Pep and Klopp. That might be. Is that a good one for another time? I put to Boovy and he rolled his eyes. I was saying, say Klopp's going, obviously. Say Pep went as well. Does the big rivalry become? Could the big rivalry become Ange versus Arteta?
Oh, I don't think that losing a manager would see such a massive drop off that they don't become relevant in the title race, Liverpool and Man City. So no, I do think there's going to be a huge drop off with Amorim, not because he's proven to be an exciting, interesting young manager, but he's walking into an institution and he's young and it's almost like, this is massive. Is it too big too soon for him? So these are all questions that I might be wrong.
True. The other thing I said to Booby, I was like, he kind of put it to me. He's like, when do you think... We said, do you think Tottenham are going to challenge in the next... When are they ever going to challenge? And I was like, I think Tottenham will challenge for the league in the next 3 years. I think. Certainly the next five.
Yes. I think we'll be in the conversation next season.
They'll challenge and they'll lose.
We're going to have a big summer. I say this all the time, but it's just one of them where it never kind of seems to realise, except that Spurs outside in terms of the business side of it and how much money you're being generated, how much we can spend, we've never quite been in this position before. If we get investment from abroad, fuck knows what's going to happen. Different football club, basically.
Ollie Sage says, Flav is barely listening. That's your warning, Flav. That's your warning. We've finished with this question. Don Heisenberg. You better be American. If you're not, what a waste. That's such a, despite sounding kind of German, that has to be an American name. It's Dan? Yeah, we'll get Dan Heisenberg on the call. He says, not really a topic, but a question. Who needs it more? Spurs a cup or QPR to go up? If you both had to pick just one of you to be happy in that sense, what would you pick?
Should we say after three? We'll do our answers after three.
QPR go up or Spurs in a cup?
Let's say our answers after three.
So, okay, what, you're just saying the club's name? I think I know what would happen.
It's either up for the cup or ours going up. You've got to say.
Okay.
Ours going up or up for the cup.
Hang on. Okay. Yeah.
What would you want?
No. I think what would we agree on? I think the question, because this sounds like this is a conversation that we would have to agree on.
Okay. I don't think it's a difficult conversation. I don't think it's a difficult conversation. Do you think it's a difficult conversation?
I think I know how it would play out. I'm not sure how I'd feel about it, but I think I know how it would play out. Ready? Can you remember the three? Just say the name. You remember. You said what? Spurs for the cup or ours go up. Right. Yeah. Ready? One, two, three. Ours go up.
Spurs for the cup. And here's the reason why. This is the reason why, James. Is it doesn't matter to you whether you...
I don't want to be here anymore. We haven't spoken about Goldbridge.
James.
I can't do this anymore. God bless him.
Put your earphones back on, James. I just got to let you know, it doesn't matter whether QPR are in the Premier League or not. It doesn't matter. You're comfortable where you are. Championships, it's the best league in the world. You'd come straight down as well.
That is part of the conversation for sure. But nothing changes by you winning a cup either.
You're right. I don't really care whether we win a cup. It doesn't bother me. And what I would love to see QPR in the Premier League just for you. Just to see it again.
But do you know what's funny about that is if that ever happened,
you would be everywhere. There isn't a QPR fan. There isn't another one. As far as I know, there is not another QPR fan that has a platform like you have. Right. You would be everywhere all the time on television. It would be insane.
For the right price. The Joel, can I actually say this? Because it's a massive thank you to EFL sponsors Jameson and Classic Football Shirts, who sent me this. They've sent me this lovely thing here. Hang on. They're not paying me to do this, but they did send it to me, and it's so cool. But it's also quite funny in how village QPR were at the time. Right. So this, right? They sent me this lovely cooler, which will be actually absolutely used. Let's make sure we show the brand there. Jameson. Thank you, Jameson. They gave me a bloody bottle of whiskey. It's got a football shirt on it, which is amazing. And it's a limited edition one with Classic Football Shirts. Shout out to them as well. But Classic Football Shirts sent me this, right? This...
Wow.
A QPR. This is a QPR 1996-97 shirt, right? And I saw it and I was like, that looks like the real deal. And then I can see a couple of stains on it as well. And I'm like,
is it match worn?
Oh my, no, I don't think so. I'm like, oh my God, I think it's a large. So I think, I mean, unless it was like back in the days when people and players were, you know, a bit chunky. It could be Neil Ruddock's. Might be Neil Ruddock's for me, played for us this year. Anyway, what is... So I was looking at it and I was thinking, is this real or not, right? And what's great is... So I'm looking at it and it's... Our sponsor was View From. So not Nike.
What is that?
View From. I don't know. I haven't seen it before. I haven't seen it afterwards. But we had View From was one, right? So I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, it's got that feel of that sort of shiny nature of the shirts at that time.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, is this real? And so you see the sponsor here, Ericsson, right? So there's a guy called, I want to say Chris Wright, who owned Ericsson, remember the mobiles, and he bought the club, right? And this shirt, the style of it, is the exact same style as the season before when we got relegated from the Premier League on my birthday away at West Ham, despite beating them 3-0. And this is how village QPR were. We'll leave you with this. Right. And the reason I know this is a legit shirt, which is so massive thank you to Classic Football Shirts. Unbelievable. Right. The reason I know is because this was the 95-96 shirt. In the 96-97 season, they changed the sponsor and you can see Ericsson there. Right. So the reason I can tell that this is a legit shirt is because when you put it inside out, it's got compact.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah.
So
that's what we did. That's what our football club did. Sustainable. So actually, it's to be commended. Good for the club.
Are you sure that isn't a match-worn shirt? Because why would they do that to a replica shirt?
They wouldn't. All of them were. Mate, it was just a large batch. I think it was when shirts, you would have 2 years with the same shirt.
Yeah.
I think they expected to have compact as maybe for a second year. We'd had them the year before, but then we got, I think, bought by a new owner and he wanted to sponsor it.
What? So they've gone through every single replica kit they had and stuck Ericsson on it.
Yeah, correct.
Fucking hell. Fair play.
Bit village, but at least you know it's the real deal.
He's bought the football club. He's going to want his...
Yeah, he wants his name on it.
Got 94, 95, 95. Would that have been...
So this is 96, 97.
Les Ferdinand?
This is the Trevor Sinclair goal era.
Ah.
I think. Yeah.
Goal's that? You never mentioned that before.
It's a bicycle kick, actually. It's available. It's even a GIF. It's even a GIF on X. So go enjoy that. We got to the fifth round, played, I want to say, Wimbledon at Selhurst Park and got pumped. So massive thank you to them. Just thought I'd say that. Because it's funny, that, isn't it? And that's how you know it's the real deal. I look a four in it. It's so big on my arms.
Have you put it on?
Oh, yes. Right. Thank you very much, guys. New bits. We need new bits.
Shit, we've got a meeting in 3 minutes.
We do. It's now, actually. Oh, no, 3 minutes. You're right. Perfect timing. Well done. That's why we're pros. Guys, thank you for all the love on the Find the Fake Fan video. Yeah. We really appreciate that because we really like doing that show. So that means that they'll probably keep us there because they've seen that you like us. So that's great.
They had to have a conversation inside Lad Bible about what is a moist slug. That's not a joke. That actually happened. That's a fact.
Yeah, that's true. And like, you know, we're joking about the billboard and stuff like that, but like, that show, us on that show, doesn't happen if this podcast doesn't exist, and this podcast exists
exactly
because you guys are fucking phenomenal. So thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. Lots of love, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.